I'm Martha Woodruff, and these are the Steel Wheels.
Tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell your sister, tell some stranger, there ain't nothing you have that you can't lose.
The Steel Wheels are a widely touring, Harrisonburg-based Americana band that describes itself as rooted in musical styles that explore the territories between blues and bluegrass, old-time sing-alongs, and foot-stomping fiddle tunes.
There ain't nothing you have that you can't lose.
Trent Wagler, the guy I'm talking to next, sings lead for the Steel Wheels, plays a bunch of different instruments, and also writes a lot of the group's songs.
There's a lot of ways to approach writing a song, and I can't say there's one way that I'm always approaching it. I always think it's a little pretentious to say a song just comes to you. Like, you know, oh, I can't describe it, Martha.
You get zapped if you're pretentious on this
right.
show.
But it does sometimes feel like there's some inspiration, some situation where it does feel like, man, there's a song right there. Or there's something that someone says in a conversation that's just like, wow, that's meant to be in a song. But then there's other times where it's very much an intentional discipline of I'm sitting down to write a song and I'm going to methodically go through a process to do that. And that may be by just writing out and just journaling feelings, and then from that pulling later and trying to create some poetry out of it. It might be starting with a particular melody or chord progression on the guitar and sort of going from there. But once you get past that initial sort of phase of the idea of a song, to me it's very important that it tells a story. And I use that very generally. I don't mean that there's always going to be a very specific character who's doing something. There could be an instrumental song that tells a story. To me, that's one metaphor, I guess, for talking about how music has its dynamics, and it has its peaks and valleys, and it's got its quiet moments, and it's got its loud yelling moments. And that's the same thing as the process of good theater. You know, telling a good story has a climax and a beginning and a middle and an end, and that's part of the arranging process. And so I guess I'm, as much as the lyrics need to tell a story on some practical level, the music should tell a story as well.
At some point I emailed you and asked you to pick a couple songs that we could talk about specifically. And you sent me two suggestions. One was Walk This Way, and talk me through it.
Sure. This one is called Walk This Way for a While, and I was up in northern Indiana, and I've done several recording processes with a good friend, Jay Lapp, who's also in our band, The Steel Wheels. But our relationship in a lot of ways got started as him having a studio and doing some recording with him. So we were up in northern Indiana doing some recording, and we were on a break. We were taking a break. It was sometime in January. This would have been about 3 years ago. When we record, so often it's so easy to just kind of hole yourself up in a little room, and all you see is your instrument, a microphone, and it's probably not unlike being on the radio sometimes.
I was just thinking the parallels are there.
But you need a chance to take a break, and sometimes, especially if you don't, you know, you get diminished returns. You start to just play. It's almost like you're placing notes instead of feeling the notes, if that makes any sense. And so you just need a break. And I was going to take a walk. It's this little town called Goshen, Indiana. And right behind the bed and breakfast where we were actually recording in, there's a little path. And it goes along what they call the mill race there. And so I was walking along that path and going to get some coffee at the coffee shop. And I realized I was very underdressed for January in northern Indiana. And if you know northern Indiana, it's also not known for its particularly jolly winter weather. I don't mean that necessarily in that it's the snowiest or it's even the coldest, but it's particularly dreary.
Dreary is the word that was coming to mind.
And so I'm walking to get coffee, and I finally get to the coffee shop, but then I sit there and I drink my coffee, and then I'm thinking I've got to walk back, and it's now only later in the evening, and And so it's only colder, if anything, and I know I have to go back now with a little bit of warm coffee in my stomach, but that's about it in terms of cheering me up. And so on the way back, I started to sing some of the lines of the song to myself, not only kind of occupy my mind, but also hopefully to warm myself up a little bit. And there's some lines in the song that have very specific, direct lines about winters in Indiana or the cold, and it kind of feels that way, but also a sense of it turned into sort of a love song. And I say turned into because I don't think I necessarily sought that, but it sort of felt like it made sense. And in this specific love song, it's more of asking someone, not so much like, will you do this specifically for this long, but can you at least walk with me right now? And that's the sense of this love song. And I thought that was an interesting concept to me. Maybe it's my own sense of not being able to commit to something, but it was this idea that if nothing else, will you at least walk with me for a while?
You said interesting. That's intellectual. Did you mean satisfying? Or did you mean interesting? They're your words. I'm not arguing with you. I'm pushing it a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, I think it's a satisfying concept, but it's also interesting to me. I should back up and say that I always find it to be a challenging thing to write a love song because love songs are, you know, it's got to be at least 85% of the songs, at least with lyrics, that are written out there. And so to write a love song and for it not to feel like you're just rewriting what everybody else has written, only worse, is a real challenge. So I've had, like, my wife has told me that she feels like I only write sad love songs. And I think that part of the reason I've been accused of only writing sad love songs is because it's much easier. It's easier to write about love when it's gone wrong. It is much more hard and vulnerable to write in an artistic way, to write something new about love going right or love that you're seeking. And so when I say interesting about this, I felt like it felt fresh to me. That's what sometimes I'm striving for because I don't want to just repen what's already out there. And that is what I think I'm striving for, is trying to communicate something that feels like it hasn't been said a million times before, maybe just 100,000 or so.
Okay, time to play
and sing. All
right, let's
do this. Yeah. So this one's called Walk This Way for a While. Ask me why I'm lonely here. Sunset's coming gray. Not one color wrapped around me like the tears that dull the pain. Nighttime never gets me, it's the morning makes me cry. Morning should bring sunlight, but I can't see the sky. Indiana winters, will you walk this way for a while? Will you walk this way for a while? Think you will. I hope you will. See me in the footsteps that I leave upon this trail. Snow falls ever cleaner than the ways that we might fail. I think I love you. Did that come too quick? Will you walk this way for a while? Will you walk this way for a while? I think you will. I know you still. I hope you will. Thank you.
I hear January is the month of minor keys, melodies of sadness, but the colors are more sweet. Sing harmony, sing harmony. Will you walk this way for a while? Will you walk this way for a while? I think you will. I hope you will. You walk this way for a while. Will you walk this way? Know you still, I hope you will.
You're playing and singing, not just for me, but for a whole bunch of people. So I'm sure there's riotous applause breaking out. That was lovely.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask you a couple technical questions.
Oh, sure.
I was noticing how you use your voice. And mm-hmm. you use it very skillfully. It's as though you know exactly what you've got and you know where to place it in your head and how to move it around. Are you trained?
Mm. Yes.
Or experienced? Well,
I've one way or another, I've gained some experience. But I did take voice lessons when I was in college. I sometimes think that my voice teacher, when hearing the way I use my voice now, would shudder. Because there are definitely some things with using the body and using breath and using the tools that any voice teacher will give you that I certainly use. But in generating a sound that I don't necessarily, I wouldn't say I sought out to, you know, say I want my voice to sound this way. But it's certainly, I don't use my voice in the same way I would have when I was singing in a choir and my voice teacher was instructing me how to sing this Italian, you know, solo or whatever it may be. And so, yes and no, I am trained. I think that the way I've chosen to sort of make my voice in this style of music is a little bit more of a bluesy or on the edge of rock and roll kind of styling of voice. And that part, I would say, is just kind of what I feel like when I'm sitting there with the page and I'm writing a song, it feels like this is the voice that needs to sing that song.
Do you consider that you have a signature voice?
Yeah, I do now. Mm-hmm. I think it's come a long way for me to realize that. And maybe it's always been there to some extent. I think as I continue to sing, I realize that I don't want to say we're in a vacuum or that we don't have outside influence, because we obviously do. But we're playing well over 100 shows a year at this point, and so a lot of nights we're trying to create a sound. And even if you're even just by habit, you end up kind of sort of creating this kind of sound. And when there's a night that's off, when your voice doesn't feel like it's feeling strong, or there's something you may have done differently, you really can tell. And so you become the monitor in some ways for whether or not that sound is continuing. And yeah, we get that feedback from time to time that the voice is very strong in terms of the identification of the band.
Tell me about your guitar.
Yeah.
Is this the one you always use, or do you use several?
No, this is the guitar for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had it since 2005 is when I got it. I actually, the very first show I ever played with this guitar was our CD release of the very first CD that I recorded. The CD was called Journal of a Barefoot Soldier, and it was released in June of 2005. And at the time, the bass player that continues to be our bass player, Brian Dickel, was working at this place called Huss and Dalton Musical Instruments in Stanton, Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And they build just about the best guitars anywhere, and they're hand-built, and they're right here in the valley. And I was actually playing a guitar where the top of the guitar was starting to kind of cave in, and that's doom for any,
yeah,
any instrument.
Not good.
So I was talking about, man, I'd really love to make the leap and try to get one of these wonderful guitars. And this was a guitar that happened to be built several years before and was kind of, for one reason or another, was just kind of kicking around the shop and hadn't been sold. And Mark Dalton, as I understand, was actually playing it every once in a while. And so it kind of became a little bit the shop guitar, and they weren't sure what they were going to do with it because it had been so long. They weren't sure they wanted to sell it as a new guitar. And so I talked to him about it, and we worked something out. It is really neat. I mean, the world of guitars is like bicycles or whatever. You can find a bicycle in Walmart, and you can find it for a very cheap price. But you know in your heart of hearts that probably isn't going to be the best bicycle in the world. And then you can also go as far as to find that bicycle for, you know, $15,000 if you really want to get at the very top, and maybe that's not even the top of the market. But the same thing with guitars. I mean, you can find now a very cheap guitar in almost any place. We were on the road in Iowa, and we stopped at this truck stop, and at this truck stop, you could buy this, like, $75 acoustic guitar. It cracked me up, but they're horrible instruments, just to be honest, Frank. They're horrible. And then on the other side, you've got people like Huss and Dalton that, you know, they know where their wood comes from. Yeah. They put such fine detail and handy work, and literally their hands are doing every bit of the work. And they have a real reputation. So I'm very proud to play, not only because I love this guitar. You know, I get on another guitar and it feels foreign to me. This has become my tool for playing music. But also just to know that it's made by people that are right here in the valley where I live, it feels right.
Back in one moment with more conversation with Trent Wagler of the Steel Wheels. I'm Martha Woodruff, and as we heard before the break, Trent Wagler, who's lead singer, guitar, and banjo player for the band Steel Wheels, sees songwriting as all about telling people stories with words and music. And sometimes the story comes from his own experience.
I was writing this song, I Will Love You, in my kitchen. I was sitting there, and a few of the lines had already started, and I was literally, it sounds so dramatic now when I think about it, because it doesn't hardly ever happen. It was one of those things that if you saw it in a movie, you'd say, no, that's too, there's
it's
no
not
way.
Real.
It's too coincidental. But I was literally sitting in my kitchen trying to write this song, and I heard the news that a friend and someone that I had worked with had committed suicide.
Oh.
And this is a gentleman in town here in the community who was a great artist, and he was an actor, and he was a playwright, and he was one half of the acting team, Ted and Lee Eshelman. And I was closer with Ted. I knew Ted much better than I knew Lee, but Lee had been such a champion for our music. Both of them really had been. I remember when we played one of our CD release concerts at Court Square, Lee was sitting right in the front row, and at the end, he literally just jumped up and just came up on stage and gave us hugs and was just like, you know, it seemed like every note was placed in the right place, and you guys are doing exactly what you should be doing. And it was just such affirmation from artists who have been doing it. You know, they had been doing what they were supposed to be doing for so many years. In the middle of writing this simple little love song, I literally heard that Lee had died. And we were just about to start working together. I was going to do some songs for a project with Ted and Lee that summer, and I'd been in some conversations mostly with Ted about it. So one of my first thoughts was about Ted, from the artist's perspective, from the friendship that you create while you're making art together. What's that like? And so this song kind of mutated a little bit. while it was a love song and a simple love song, it kind of also became this song that was in some ways a song to try to comfort someone who was going through this kind of loss. And in the end, you know, I walked away and looked at the song from afar a little bit and kind of wondered, does it still make sense? Does it still hold together since I started it just kind of singing it as a love song? And now it's turned into more of this comforting friend love song. And I decided that whether it does or not, I want to keep it that way. But I've had the opportunity to sing this song. It's the only song I've ever written that I've done this. But I've sang it at several weddings. And I've also sang it at a funeral. And I think that's a pretty unique,
yes,
a unique thing. And it's been a real
honor.
Spectrum. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So So that's where this one comes from. It's called I Will Love You.
I don't want to tell you stories if there are no happy ends. But I'll walk this road beside you, and I will learn to be a friend. When the black cloud comes to rising, and the cold is getting low, so low, I will love you. I will love you, I will. Yes, I will. And I will greet you in the morning with a smile on my face. When that sun has done its shining, we will find a resting place. When the black cloud comes to rising, and the cold is getting low, so low, I will love you. I will love you, I will. Yes, I will. Made you weary, too much sorrow, too much joy, I'll be the hope that you can touch, dear, I'll be the laughter you enjoy. When the black cloud comes to rising, and the cold is getting low, so low, I will love you, I will love you, I will, yes I will. When the tears have done their crying, and we've made our way back home,
that is what I call a full-hearted song.
Well, no, thank you.
It's really nice.
Yeah.
So, Mr. Wagler, in listening to Steel Wheel CDs, I noticed a lot of really tight harmony. Can you talk a little bit about tight harmony?
Yeah. Well, I think one of the unique things about the band as it really formed...
Steel Wheels.
The Steel Wheels.
Okay.
Because, I mean, a little bit of the evolution of that was I was writing some songs and wanting to play them, but I also felt like that while I could and I did perform some as a solo artist, that wasn't necessarily my, it didn't feel like that was where I excelled the most or that's what I wanted to do. I really enjoyed playing off of and playing with other musicians
on
stage.
Community.
Yeah. And it wasn't like the band, it wasn't like I sat down and sort of wrote down, okay, these are the members I could possibly invite to be in this band. It was very much like it just sort of fell together. But we all have a common background of being Mennonite, and that's very much, you know, in different ways, and maybe in different ways that we choose to express that today and how connected we might be with the church or the community of faith directly. But we all grew up with that heritage, and part of the Mennonite heritage is singing, and singing in parts, singing harmonies. And we all four of us have sang in choirs, all four of us sang hymns growing up. And so the idea of harmonizing, I mean, there's bands that have one singer. There's bands that have maybe one singer and a few harmonies.
And a backup, yeah.
For us, it was like, well, of course we all sing. You know, it's just kind of an assumption. And so I think it's taken us several years to realize actually, oh, wow, these harmonies are a bit unique. The fact that we do harmonize this much. Now we've also kind of used that. I challenged myself to try to write an a cappella song that's all just four-part harmony. At different times we've used four-part harmonies in a song one way or another. And I thought, boy, it'd be really fun to try to write something completely a cappella. And so I did. On our Red Wing album, we have a song called Surround Me, and it's been probably 3 years or so now where that's been our final song of the show almost
it's
every
your
night.
Anthem.
Yeah, it's kind of our closer, you know.
Yeah.
I guess with these guys, I feel like we're so lucky that we have people who really listen. I mean, the best musicians you'll ever find are great listeners.
Trent Wagler grew up in Michigan as part of a large Mennonite community that sang harmony as a matter of course. The child of a farmer turned pastor, these days Trent juggles the Steel Wheels international touring schedule with a very part-time job as a sexual abuse prevention educator and a young family. So how, I asked him, does he maintain anything close to balance in his busy, busy life?
That's the question, right?
Yeah.
I talk to my parents sometimes about balance and about the example that they gave me, not in a judgmental way, but in a way of asking them, how did you do it? How do I do it? My dad was the kind of person that, whether he was a farmer or a pastor, he was the kind of person that put everything into what he did. And that sense of calling was there, whether it was farming or it was being the pastor of a church. And I think the challenge of that for any family is that then when your sense of calling is what you're doing out in the world, that you're out in the world and you're not at home. And in our band, everybody has this similar challenge, and this sense of balance is something we all have to strive for. All of us have kids in the band, which is fairly unique for a band traveling and playing, and sometimes we feel like we're trying to sort of swim upstream against the current to try to do both. But I think we're very serious about what we're doing. I mean, there are bands out there you always see musicians out there who you can almost tell they don't have anywhere else to be. And so playing that show that night and then hanging out the rest of the night, you know, at the bar, whatever it is, maybe that's their entire world. And for us, we have this constant reminder of we're out on the road because we feel like that we have something to share and we want to share that with people. And if for some reason we feel like it's not really, we're not actually doing that, we're not connecting to people, we're not telling stories that impact them, we're not sharing music that impacts people, then why are we out there? Because we all have families to come home to. There's no reason just to travel for travel's sake. You know, if I ever feel like the music's not connecting with people, that's the calling that I think I feel is a sense of we've got stories to tell and we want to engage in that. And if that's ever not there, I think, you know, we stop doing it and we come home to our families and we get a job at the food co-op or something.
Trent Wagler, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you, Martha. This has really been fun.
When the tears are done, they're crying, and we've made our way back home, back home. I will love you. I will love you. I will. Yes, I will. I will love you. I will love you, I will. Yes, I will.